Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Kay York City. How are you? How was your Thanksgiving? What, I saw you went home, right?
No, my parents actually came here.
They came to you.
LA.
Oh,
yeah.
How was that? The old reversal.
You know, I prefer it the other
way.
I complain about it.
The hosted becomes the host. Yeah, of course you prefer it the other way. Get out of my house.
I know. In my head, I'm like, you know what? I'm saving money on flights because I just spent $1,000 to go back home to Ohio for Christmas. And so I'm like, yeah, come here. I'm in my own space. I can like have my own thing.
Ain't your space anymore.
No. And they stayed with me.
Oy,
because I right. Because I have an extra room.
This is like a bad dream. No, this is a scary story. And my parents, they stayed with me. Ah! Yeah, no, this is horrific.
And I don't really, and I didn't really think about it because they've stayed with me for a night before. It was like their last night here. They stayed in a Airbnb and then the night before they flew out, I was like, yeah, just stay here. It'll be easier. You can like get all your stuff together, whatever. And that was fine. And then this was from Tuesday to Sunday. And
ooh, it keeps getting worse.
I know. And it was fun and it was great. But then I realized, you know, back at home, when I'm at home in Cincinnati, I have my own space. They have their own thing, their own lives, like cars. Right. They know the area. They know what they're, it's separate. But here, no, I'm like fully babysitting. I'm like, do you need food? Do you need water? Like, what do you want to do?
You're the concierge, you're the check-in, you're the housekeeping, you have to do it all. This is, you have to teach them how to use, you know, the keys. Like this is, I can't think of anything worse in the entire world than having my parents stay with me for the house.
It was, to be honest, it was a lot.
Nothing worse. Nothing. I can't think of one thing.
It was a lot of days, too. And then one of the days, my friend McKenna and my roommate Chelsea, McKenna's mom was in town. And then Chelsea's mom lives here in LA. And so we had like three girls and our parents' night where we had like food and drinks. And it ended up being really fun.
Sure. Once you got to the event, but I'm sure the lead in, I mean, by the time it got there, I'm sure you're ready to like twist your parents' heads off.
I don't know how to buy food for multiple people.
No.
I was this like, oh yeah, like this should be enough. Like this much coffee should suffice for the, you know, 5 days that they're here. No, I have no concept of buying food for more than just me.
Listen, I hear you. I'm sitting here, I'm looking at my shoebox apartment. I can't imagine.
Were you in Florida?
I went down to Boca, and then I did shows in Dania Beach. I met a lot of Bachelor fans, which was so nice.
So Dania Beach, this is your first time, right?
First time in Dania. I've done like Fort Lauderdale. You know, Florida's a little weird. There's like so many different venues, and then like, if everything feels far away and close at the same time, like if you do Miami, people from Boca are like, oh, we'll just come down to Miami. And then someone else would be like, that's, you know, I got to take the horse and carriage. You know, like people go crazy. So like, you
How
never
far
know.
Is that?
It's an hour. There's an hour, you know, but like it's certain parts of the country. It's all based, distance is perspective, because I'll go to like Ohio and someone's like, yeah, we came from 3 hours away. It's nothing. We do that every day for work. And you're like, okay. And then you go to like, Dania Beach and it's like a half hour from Boca and someone's like, are you going to come to my living room? What? Why would I go to Dania Beach? You know, so you never know what what matters to people or doesn't. Right. But the shows were great, and my parents had a lot of their friends there, which was fun.
I love your parents.
They're out of control.
I love your mom. I saw a picture. I was watching your story, obviously, seeing pictures of you and your mom. I mean, I love it.
We did the turkey trot, and she trots in. She's like the mascot. You know, she knows everybody. She says hi to everybody without knowing their name. Like, she'll go up to someone as if it's her third cousin, like a huge hug, and then the person, and then she'll go, Jared, this is, what's your name? And so-and-so. I'm like, and I'm sitting there like just folding like a fucking piece of paper inside of me. Like, I'm dying inside from the whole interaction. But,
oh my God,
that's her power, you know? So I had a great weekend. And again, hearing about you hosting your parents, I couldn't have had the more opposite experience. Laundry done every 5 minutes. Ugh. Food as far as the eye could see. Drinks, and then getting asked, is this how you drink when you're in New York? That was a fun conversation.
The drinking is always very funny.
Yeah. Do I get a second martini in New York? Yeah, I think I do sometimes. But then the trip ended last night. I came back Monday night, and we get the screeners, as the listeners here know. And I got into Bachelor in Paradise, which feels like it's been on hiatus for 700 years.
Why did I think this was the finale?
I thought it was too. Instead, we got a rose ceremony. That's a rose ceremony that went for an hour and a half. I can't. This was them. This was the plane. I was in my flight, and they were telling us, we can't land because of plane traffic, so we're going to have to circle around. And I was like, oh, my God, this is just like Bachelor in Paradise. We're doing the same thing. Bachelor in Paradise is metaphorically circling around the landing, and my flight was literally circling around LaGuardia in the same way.
Like in limbo.
It was
like
stupid.
Like you're there, but you're not.
Right. This episode, it like bothered me. Everything about it bothered me, and we have to blame like the contestants, but like it's really not their fault. Like, they do the show. This is the fault of, you know, greed and all these things, you know, like we need an extra episode. I don't know. There was nothing here. I don't know. How did you feel, Kay?
I mean, yeah, I literally went into this thinking it was the finale, and then I turn it on, and as the more we get through the episode, I go, oh, we're not at the end yet.
Right.
We very much are not at the end of this season. And then when I started seeing them all trying to choose different people, I'm like, wait a minute. We should be done. Why are you keeping your options open?
Someone, and I can be like, someone here is going to get engaged? What the fuck are we talking about? And I there was also this element. There are legit movies that take place at one dinner. Like, there's like there's the premise of the movie is like, we do one dinner, and at the end, who done it, and we find out the murderer. This was the length of one movie, and it was at one event, the rose ceremony. And less happened here than anything that I've ever watched for that long in my entire
life. I know. 2 hours. And nothing happened.
Was it 2 hours? I don't even... I don't know. I saw the length, and I was like...
It's not 2 hours because we don't have commercials.
Right. I mean, I felt for people who had commercials. If you watch tonight, I'm like curious as to what people thought, because I was like, what is this? I don't know. It made me dislike everyone on the cast. It made me dislike the producers. It made me dislike everyone involved. I don't know if I could have a worse review of something in my the only thing I would review worse is having my parents stay with me for Thanksgiving.
That was worse than this episode. I'm not going to lie.
What was longer, this episode or your parents staying with you for
the 5 days that my parents stayed here? I mean, it was.
Do they sleep in your
really
bed?
Never really had to think about it. No, I have a spare bedroom. Okay, so I have a whole spare bedroom, spare bathroom. So they have their own like space completely, which is the only reason why they were able to stay here, because they have their own space.
New Yorker, people who live in New York City should never be able to ask questions about living spaces. Like, I'm like, dude, did they sleep in your kitchen? In your, you know, like I'm like asking stupid questions.
What kind of blow up mattress do you have?
Right.
Does it fit in your living room? Or
so all of you like the grandparents and Willy Wonka? You know, so
I in the bed, like me still in the center.
Yeah, you, your head at the bottom, theirs at the top. Oh, also, you sent me a video of Clayton Eckert.
Oh.
Can we talk about him for a second? Is his existence on Earth, like, he's like, you know, I think of former bachelors and bachelorettes, like the former leads of the show. Did I say his last name correctly? I don't know.
Yeah, Clayton Eckert, yeah.
So I think of former bachelors and bachelorettes, like I think of like the Hunger Game former like winners.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how like it can go all ways. They either become this like, you know, influencer, or they like devolve into drugs and alcohol. You know, like if you've seen the Hunger Games, you know kind of what I'm talking about. And that's how I think of it. I've only seen like two of the movies and then I fell out of it. It got too weird for me. But
it's strange.
I did like that first one where it's like the idea that there's this Hunger Games competition, and then if you win, you just like live this lavish lifestyle of, you know, upper class, whatever. And then you sent me this video of Clayton. What is he doing?
So there's this video of Clayton that he has posted recently of him dancing in like a dance studio. The caption honestly is way too long, but he's essentially talking about how he started up taking dance. He's like, here's the first video of when I first started dancing in January 2022. And it's like, and it's like the worst dancing you've ever seen.
It's weird because he's really proud of it. So I'm proud of Clayton. Yes. Like but it is like, it does feel like something someone would post. So basically it's like him dancing a year ago and look how far I've come learning how to dance. Like this is like what someone would post if they've lost 100 pounds. And it's really just him doing one dance move, which like good for him. And he's also responding to every comment. Like someone's like, it's cringe. And he's like, evolving isn't cringe. Like he like, you can see he's like, this is a huge deal for him. So I actually want to let him know, good for you, Clayton. Like I'm happy for you and your evolution of dance. But it did strike me as odd. I was like,
the best part of this caption is that I didn't clock this. He goes, I didn't want anyone to know, didn't want anyone seeing me dancing, not even my family. So I bought an online hip-hop dance class and began secretly practicing.
This is like what former addicts do. Like if you like, this is what people, they're like, I got to fill the time. I don't want to go back to drugs and alcohol. I'll learn how to dance. And they go, look how far I've come and dance. But then usually there's like a thing at the end that's like, thank you to dance for getting me off of
things.
The cocaine, you know, like,
yeah.
So, like
it's so weird.
And you got us the thing we have to admit to. And this is why I'm like, I hope we don't sound mean. Like, I'm just noticing it's like, to me, the grander story is like these shows fuck with people. And I guess we're part of that, like, you know, because we dive in. But I hope we do it respectfully. I hope we're not, you know, I hope that no one's sitting there with a picture of us two on their wall being like, I'll get him one day. You know,
I mean, he's afraid to dance. And the only reason is because, like, he has this following. And so he knows if we see it, he's like, I can't even let my family know. Like, if he wasn't The Bachelor, he wouldn't probably have this big of an issue, obviously.
If he wasn't The Bachelor, he'd be out in the middle of Missouri married with two kids. At like a, you know, at the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, drinking with his high school friends, like
100%.
You know, like this guy, you know, like I again, it's Hunger Games. It's like, I don't, maybe this wasn't supposed to be, you know, like maybe we should.
Yeah, maybe not.
Hey guys, well, I just want to let you in on my dance journey. Like I, you sent it to me and I wrote back to you. I was like, I'm happy he's doing stuff, like, I think that kind of is like the theme of tonight's episode, because we have to acknowledge that it ends with, and not to jump ahead, but like it does end with Rachel, a former bachelorette, leaving in tears.
And, oh yeah,
and Rachel kind of just like, It's just an interesting look when you look at Rachel and you look at Clayton, and they're from the same era of this like post social media bachelor world. They don't have enough followers to make a full career out of it. Mm-hmm. They're post the era of like the Caitlin Bristows, who now are on in Elysium, making dough, their own wine company, mansion in Nashville. And then there are two iterations beyond. I went on this show, it was something I did in my life, and I kind of moved on. I had my People magazine cover, yeah, and I moved on. So it went People magazine cover, goodbye. Then it went social media, I'm making millions in appearances, you know, whatever campaigns, social campaigns. And then it's Rachel and Clayton kind of losing it.
I know. You know, like, it's tough.
You know,
like, I mean, Clayton also had a really tough go this year because he was, I think it was twice, definitely once, accused of getting a girl pregnant. And there was that whole thing where it was like, Clayton's the father. Is he not the father? And then the test finally reveals that he's not. And
like, he claimed he didn't even meet her and then he had to take a test. And you're like, what?
It's so weird. Like, his trajectory is even worse than imaginable.
Yeah, I don't know. It was funny you sent that to me right before we taped, because I was like, man, this made me think of Rachel's plight. Like, this is a former bachelorette who, like, I'm sure she says, I'm the former bachelorette. I should be. You know, I'm sure there's an element of like embarrassment, which is not fair. You know, like,
right.
It's really not fair. Like, it's just not the reality of the situation, the environment you were put into. You were on the show at a different time, even though it wasn't that long ago that it was very different. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming only on Hulu.
But let's get into the episode. We've gone on and on I a little bit, but I think it's a good
intro.
It was
worth it.
Yeah.
All right. So this episode, we see a lot of transparent theatrics, old school bachelor trickery, and the ladies are left in control of the roses this week. What did you name the episode?
I called it the longest rose ceremony ever. I don't think I've ever seen a whole episode that's one rose ceremony.
No. That was...
Right.
Honestly, it didn't even occur to me that it was one full rose ceremony in one episode until you said it. And I was like, oh my God, it really was. Like, we started in the evening and we ended in the evening and we're still at the ceremony.
I mean, we talked a little for a little while before getting into this episode, but like, there's not much to talk about. Like, there's really not much that happened. But what did you call tonight's episode?
I said survival of the breakups, because honestly, I was like, I thought there were going to be more than there were, because we had obviously Rachel decided to choose John instead of Tanner, but then
Jordan.
But then Jordan chose Mercedes, and then, you know, Blake and Jess broke up, and then Mercedes and Tyler had their breakup. I'm like, what? Is everybody just panicking at the end or what?
Well, it's the reason this show is very is pretty good. When it's good, it replicates actual relationships.
Right.
Like, you know, when it's good, when someone comes down the stairs, it's Tinder. Oh, look at them swipe left, swipe right. You know, like when it's really at its best. And the one thing that this episode replicated is you got to shit or get off the pot. If you're going to. There is a moment in every real relationship, and I have been through this many times in my life, where if we do this next thing, we are more serious just by the centrifugal force of our body moving forward. We have become more real.
He's a whether scientist, you want everyone.
To, yes, I listen.
Centrifugal force.
Whether you want to, is that what it's called? A centrifugal force?
Yeah,
I took a chance
on
a smart word. Yeah, I don't know. By forward motion, you are, and this is the thing, men, you know, get the bliss, get the pleasure of being, you know, considered emotionally inept. But we all know, every man knows, if I do this next thing, I am now lying by my actions.
Yeah.
And I think this episode was like, hey, if I go with this person, I am making promises with my body that I can't necessarily
commit to.
Because, right. Because the episode starts with Blake pulling Jess for a chat. I've never cared less about a couple in my entire life. I've never believed a couple less. They actually broke up and then they got back together because they went on dates with other people.
It was weird. Their whole timeline has been strange, because they've had this conversation before. The breakup conversation that they had that night is the same conversation that they've had before, where Jess was like, I don't know if I'm feeling it. Like, I haven't gotten to explore anything with anyone else. I feel like I should be farther than I am, and I'm not. And they ended up staying together after, you know, Blake goes on a date. But I think it's just because Jess wanted to be, she doesn't want to be alone. So she's willing to stay with Blake just to not be alone.
I don't mean to get, I'm annoyed at Blake. Let me start with that. Like, Blake stinks too in this whole thing. But like, there's a point, you're right, because Jess is afraid and she's, you know, they call her baby Jess. There's a reason.
I hate that.
She's
immature. I hate that.
I know, it's so gross. I don't like it. It's annoying. And it just feels like Jess is just blah. Just there. And she's very much the girl in the cool group in high school who all the girls go, no, we love, you gotta get to know her first. And everyone's like, I feel like I know her. Ain't much going on. You know, like, it just feels like she's a little bit of a bore. But then, you know, the longer this breakup went, the more it went, I kept going, enough. I literally was saying out loud on the flight, I'm going, enough, stop it. Get out of here. The music behind it, I didn't believe any of it. The idea that Blake is like, oh my God, I gotta let you go. Blake made it go longer than it ever should have gone.
The ending when they were standing after they decided, like, all right, let's call it quits, when he tried to help her up and she said no, and then he still proceeds to be like, you've made me a better man, you've made me feel something again that I didn't know that
I couldn't love for years. Yeah,
she didn't even want to take your hand when you were helping her up. She's not into you, let it go. Ew.
Just walk away, it's over, it's done.
It's,
and
not
then
like
he
you
walks
hate
away.
Each other, it's chill.
No, and that's the thing, he was making it into something it wasn't. And I blame Blake for that. Like, Jess is sitting there. She's never going to dump him. She was never going to go. She was never going to dump him. She was never going to make it something. And then Blake tries to, like, he's like, oh, we got to have our moment. And it's like, and then Blake leaves. And so finally Blake leaves. What was that with Kylie and Blake?
It felt like a weird mistress type of thing. Like, they had a thing and she was like, Blake, wait. And I was like, what do you mean, wait? I was very confused. I was like, why are you running after him?
There was a moment where Blake smiled where we didn't know something. It was a very weird, bizarre moment. And it was either Kylie letting... I didn't think it was Kylie and him hooking up. It seemed like they have some sort of friendship. Like, how am I going to stay here without you? And I was like, aren't you with Avon? Like, what's going on? But then it kind of felt like Kylie was signaling to Blake that maybe because her and Mercedes are close, that like maybe him and Mercedes will hit it off. I don't know. But it was like, it was just bizarre.
The whole Mercedes chasing after Blake was weird. And I remember them panning to Avon. Huh?
Kylie chasing after Blake.
Yeah, Kylie chasing after Blake was so weird because then they also tried to make us think that there was something because they panned to Avon and Avon was like awkward about it. It's like, I don't know. That situation was strange. I wish they would have let us in on that a little bit more. There are certain things where you kind of just, I don't like the secret stuff when you're not letting us know. Like, don't make inside jokes on the show that we can't be a part of.
At a baseline, it felt like Blake is flirty with every single woman on that beach.
Yeah.
And it felt like he's a girl's guy, which doesn't get the, you know, a girl's guy doesn't get the fodder that a guy's girl gets.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, girls get a lot of shit. Girl's guy doesn't get a lot of shit. Blake kind of has that vibe of like, he's kind of like in the gossip with the women. Like, he knows who likes who. It did kind of feel like he would talk with Kylie about Avon and the things going on in their relationship. That was kind of the vibe that I was getting.
I mean, that's Blake. I've met him one time. He's very charming, very like cool to be around. So I could see how that would play out for sure.
So then we go to the Tyler and Mercedes talk. Mercedes pulls Tyler and to talk with his ear piercings. Now he's a different guy.
He's changed.
Tyler just says nothing. Like, I think Mercedes, you know, to me, the frustrating part is like, I've been in the scenario before where it's like Mercedes is like begging him to like love her and then she can make a decision. Like, I wanted Mercedes to be like, hey, she even says, she's like, I don't feel wanted. It's like, if you don't feel wanted, like, there's a piece of me that goes, dump him.
Yeah.
You know, you don't like him. Right. And then she needed this thing of him being like, there's no spark. And it's like, I know that's a frustrating thing to hear. That's almost too honest, but it's like, I don't know. What did you think of this?
I mean, Tyler acting so shocked when she was like, I don't feel wanted. And he's like, wait, what? Like, right. I mean, he never gave her a reason to make her feel wanted. Like, it was very, we saw in the last episode when they had that conversation where she's just wants to hear it from his mouth that he's not fully into it, or that he is. Like, she just wants an answer, and I think that's why it came off, or like it sounded like begging, like, please, like, I don't feel like this, I don't feel like you want me, just dump him. But I think she just wanted to hear him admit to it, and he wasn't going to. I mean, he was baffled when she was saying, you haven't done anything. Like, it's, they're talking about distance, and he's like, well, if it works, it works. It's like, this is why she feels this way.
No, this is how situationships start. Like, if you're sitting there wondering how you ended up in your situationship, just watch this conversation between Tyler and Mercedes, because he's playing aloof. He's playing dumb. He's like, I like you enough to keep on hanging, but I don't like you enough to give you any promises. I'm not going to get blamed. I'm not going to have my words used against me, because the minute he gave her words to use against him, She did. He goes, I don't feel a spark. And she's like, and then she went back to the, you know, the Council of Women. Can you believe he said he didn't feel a spark? And they're like, he didn't feel a spark. And it's like, yeah, we all watched them not feel a spark.
To the
like,
point of debating the difference between a spark and connection. He's like, well, yeah, right. I felt a connection. I just didn't feel a spark. And she goes, well, it's the same thing. He goes, well, no, it's not. A spark is different.
Classic guy who wants to get blown and not have to meet your parents during Thanksgiving. This is classic language change. I get it. I know what Tyler's doing. He's trying to run out the clock. He was like, and she was right about everything, but it's like, it's not that dramatic. Like, it's just like, there's a point. She was right about everything, but there's a point where it's like, own that you're right and like, walk away from this. Like, you don't like this. You're fighting for what? For a guy to be like twisted into saying I could see a future. Like, he ain't gonna say it, and you want more. And Mercedes even says that. So
we can no longer be surprised when we get to the end of Paradise and people are there and they were just trying to stay there till the end. Like,
again,
we can't be surprised. Shit or
get off the pot. But that's the thing. It's like, listen, if two people are under the understanding of like, hey, this is fun, we're going to keep the fun going, that's great. And that's kind of like what Tyler was probably looking for. And if one person's like, let's keep the fun going, the other person's like, fun? I want business. I want, where are we living? Where are we going? You know, then you're fucked. It's over. You know, so to each their own type of thing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
So then we have Olivia and Michael. Olivia and Michael just feel like a fun, cute couple. Again,
yeah.
I think they're, like, to me, if I went on this show, they have the perfect scenario. They met at, like, kind of as this thing is heading downhill towards its ending. They're in the, we're having fun, we'll see what happens, we'll exchange numbers when this is over. It's not that serious, but it could be, you know?
Yeah, they were there. I mean, they're there long enough to actually like each other, but short enough to not question it and go with someone else.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And need bigger answers. Right.
Right. Yeah. The second you get there, it's like a Jess and Blake. They were together for too long, and then they got to the point where it's like, well, I'm not going to meet anybody else, or like, I've invested way too much time into this. So that's it.
Like, even Jess says it doesn't feel like it's like it did in the beginning. It's like, yeah. You know, you know, relationships age on
never
this
does.
Beach like fruit. You know, it's going to go bad really quick. Or, you know, it's like, yeah. And then after that, Jess becomes, well, before Jess, there's the Rachel and Jordan conversation. So Rachel goes with Jordan. And it's been so long since the last episode where I had to be like, wait a minute. Didn't Rachel at the last episode kind of make promises to Tanner? And that, like, Rachel goes on a date with Jordan, then comes back. Jordan disappears for the rest of the, we talked about this last time.
It was so weird. Yeah. They go on the date, Rachel and Jordan go on the date. And then she comes back and it seems like she's very much into Jordan, but then Tanner gives her this, oh no, I actually liked you, like we were friends, but it's turning into more. And so she makes these promises to Tanner, but then the comedy show, I think, irks Rachel's nerves with Tanner because he made that joke. And so now she's going back to Jordan, who now they're both friend zoning her. Both of them
are. I mean, Rachel, and she kind of says it when she left. It's kind of a lesson for any, you know, dater out there. The minute she had the power of like one or the other, you could see like that Grinch smile on her face last episode. I remember her like kind of eating it up, like,
oh yeah,
this is fun. I'm the bachelorette again. And it's like, you know, and so when she pulls Jordan to be like, I'm going to pick you, I just don't understand how so much time was spent on Blake and Jess with their bullshit, sing-songy breakup. And we got nothing of like Tanner, Rachel, Jordan, and then Jordan kind of like not wanting to be with Rachel. Like, why don't we have the interview with Jordan being she said she's going to pick me, but I'm like, he did go and talk to Mercedes. Jordan goes and talks to Mercedes and they have like a nice conversation, but there was never like a, hey, what does Rachel think of this?
Well, it was so quick because I kept going back. So I was like, make dinner. But there was like a mini section where after Rachel and Jordan speak, he goes over and talks to like a group of people and is like, I don't really know how I'm feeling about this. Like, the date was good, but it feels, I don't know if it's what it should be. And
right,
and then
I didn't
you
get
have,
to explore.
Right. And then you have Tanner telling Jess, you know, I thought Rachel and I had more than just friendship, but it turns out it was just friendship, which seems like really skeezy to me, because the reason why he picked Rachel in the first place was just to be friends. But I think he just wanted her to keep him, or he just wanted to stay, maybe. I don't understand that whole dynamic, but we needed more context.
Right, and we needed more connection from the last episode, considering it's been a week since the last episode. Like, knowing Bachelor Nation the way that we do, someone out there is like, oh no, they said this, and they like knows everything. But yeah. I don't think like most people are sitting here being like I was just kind of confused. Like, how did all the chairs get sat in with Rachel being alone? Like, I
don't know.
And you go, I don't know. So like, also I was dumbfounded that Jess was this hot commodity. Like, the idea that Braden is giving her chocolates, I'm like, What am I not seeing? It was like that meme is like, is he hot or is he tall? Like, or is he just tall? It's like,
yeah,
hot or just here, you know, like with a rose,
just available,
you know,
period. Right. And I think that's because I do not remember all of these guys coming in and being like, oh yeah, Jess, or I don't remember any of them saying that they were interested in her until now. And so watching Braden and Tanner and who's the other one? Oh, and that Taylor guy all talking to Jess. It was it was so bizarre. I'm like, and I mean, Braden even called it. He was like, I'm going to get her chocolates. And he said it was a last ditch effort.
Yeah.
And I think he meant it as like to try with her, but I took it as to stay on the beach.
Yeah. That's how I look at it. That's how I would look at this whole thing.
Yeah.
Is like, I just want to be here another week, I guess. I don't even know if that's...
But who cares? Like, why would you want to stay that much longer?
I don't want to stay watching this show another week. Why would they want to stay on this beach another week? I don't know. It must be quite a vacation. They must really not want to go back to not working. Must not want to go back to reality. Which I agree with. I get that. You're like, if I could stay here and not have to go on monster.com to look for a job, I guess I would do
love that.
Yeah.
It was weird. I don't know. The Jess thing was just, I don't think it needed to, I think it was desperate. She should have gone home. Jess should have gone home when Blake went home.
Well, that's the thing that I watched from like an eye of a dating, like from the perspective of like dating and dating culture and like having gone through breakups and dated people, where it's like, it is so interesting to me. I mean, what a metaphor. The men are just like, okay, nobody here for me. I'm going to get, I'll be out of here. Ta-ta, everybody. Like,
yeah.
The way Tyler and Blake were like, I don't see an out here, so I'm going to leave. And then the women being like, I'll just stay and I'll hug my friends and I'll look you right in the eye. Like, it was just a very funny metaphor to me of like, maybe love is here, even though it's not even here. You know, like,
you would have tried something else. Like, you would have done. I would have been out. I've been like, you know what? Right. It's time to go. Thanks. It's probably only a few more days anyways. I'm ready to shower properly.
Right. I'm with you. So we go to the rose ceremony and it's Eliza and Aaron who feel like they are in love. And we really didn't get a lot of them. Kat and John Henry, we didn't get a lot of either until the postscript scene where they discussed how they pee a lot. Sounds like a fun couple. Kylie and Avon.
Right.
Kylie, who may have been fucking Blake or had some sort of, like, you know, that was her, like, her bestie who she confided in. Olivia and Michael, who we like, and they were fun. Sam and Peter, who they seem like, we didn't get a lot of them either, but it just seems like they're actually a real couple for some reason.
Yeah, it does, which I was not expecting out of all of the couples for them to be like, yeah, I could see this.
Right. And here's as far as who gets engaged, like, they're also older, both of them. I think Peter's like 35. Sam's might be 33 or something. Mm-hmm. So like, maybe that has a lot to do with it, that they're just like, oh, this is cool. Jess calls on Tanner. And that was the funniest part of the episode. I have to say, when Taylor, who the funniest to me is, so Taylor, who came down the stairs with Jordan, he's one of the last people here. Taylor, I didn't know what his name was. So when she said Tanner, I was like, and then this guy Taylor came out, I was like, what is his name that the confusion could have been? Like, I was like, how close are their names? I don't even remember what his name was. Did you have that? I thought, I was like, what?
When he stepped forward after she said Tanner's name, I was like, well, did I hear it wrong? I thought maybe I heard it wrong.
I thought it was one of the cameramen who stepped up. I didn't know who this guy was.
We didn't see any. This poor man was on this beach for what?
Why did he come?
Yeah, for what?
So then Mercedes pulls Jordan, and that's when you're like, oh, shit. Like, that was the moment where I'm like, wait a minute. Why didn't we get a scene of Jordan and Rachel having it out? Like,
I know. I really wish we did. Where's that scene? I wish we did.
Because then Rachel gets her rose, walks off. And here's the thing that I will say in this moment. I felt really bad for Rachel. It did... Again, your Clayton video that you sent me, I was like, today I had like a flashback. I'm like, wow, this is a tough spot to be in.
Really tough.
You are the bachelor. You are the bachelorette. You get all the PR that goes with it. You go on the Today or Good Morning America. You go, you have assistants. You're the star of a show on network TV. And then the after show, you know, you're told, well, this person went on to this and this person went on to that. And then you're on Bachelor in Paradise with no one to give the rose to.
That's
and
tough.
I felt for her.
I did Brutal. Too. I also think we were missing the part where Tanner and Rachel had, like, why was she so shocked that Tanner didn't pick her? Like, where was that conversation?
Yeah, these are two conversations that I would have loved instead of literally 30 other conversations that happened over the course of this episode.
Like, yeah.
I will say Jesse Palmer was great. You could tell
Always.
He really cared. You could tell he really cared about Rachel because, again, you have when you're a contestant on the show, you know Jesse. I'm sure it's different. When you're the bachelorette, you know, Jesse's your confidant. The guy that's with you the whole time. So, like, he knows Rachel in a different way than he knows the rest of these people. And you could kind of, I could feel that. I don't know about you. I really did have that moment where I'm like, oh, this is like really sweet. Like, this is someone who does care about Rachel.
Watching Jesse evolve from his first season to now has just been great, because at first I was like, oh, this guy's cringe. Like, why is he doing all the things that he's doing? Why is he breathing? Like, everything was awkward to me. And then now I agree with you. Like, I feel like, oh, he knows these people. He actually cares about these people. Watching him on Golden Bachelor, I love him. He's become one of my favorite people. I'm so glad that he's hosting. He's great.
Right. It's like they're his people. You know, like Rachel was one of his ladies.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you could feel that in that moment. And also, let me just add on, Rachel looked fantastic. I like the big hair. I was into the look, the ponytail with the big hair. She really did some beachy wavy things. I was really, I was into it.
Beachy wavy things. She sure did. She did.
Let's go to the categories. Who did you have as your villain of the week?
I think the truth. I think, obviously, we'd rather know the truth, but I think, you know, Jess and Blake having to admit the fact that they're not into each other as much as they were. Same with Tyler and Mercedes. And then Rachel realizing that neither of those guys wanted her. It's the truth is the villain for me, I think. Unfortunately, it's what we needed to hear, but I think in this light, it's hard.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that the villain to me was just for me, it was watching breakups that could have been an email. You know, it's like, I guess like me personally, like having gone through breakups where like we both knew, like me and the other person, and then it was like had to be this bigger thing. You go. I'm watching these getting frustrated because I'm like, you two both know. Like, we don't need, you know, anger. We just, you know, you're not going to move for this person. We know. It's over. Let's, you know, let's bump uglies and get out of here. I don't know. To me, not everything has to be a breakup. That was my villain of the week, breakup.
I agree. But I like the truth. It is a
good one. The beach bum. Who would you want off the island?
That Taylor guy, like, well, I don't understand why he was there. We forgot he was there. What's he doing here?
Every time I saw Taylor, I thought he was a sound guy that got on camera. I thought he was like, he really, every single time. I had Jess. I'm just done with Jess. I don't know. She's got to go back to her room full of all her Furbies or whatever. I gotta be done with this girl. It's a lot.
I really can't believe she stayed. It's such a bizarre, bizarre decision for me. Everybody's gone.
IG Rising Star. Who do you think is going to be big on social media after tonight?
Side note, I found out that the person who's gained the most followers this season, they don't have like the most in general, but that has the biggest growth from Bachelor Data was Jess has had the biggest growth on Instagram. But I think that's because she started out at like zero, essentially. Okay. But yeah, so in my head, it would be, I think she'll get even more tonight, but I think it's Mercedes. I think we're all going to be very much on Mercedes' side after watching her and Tyler's conversation. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. Mercedes made a speech that is going to be very, that I'm sure every woman will like rise from their seat and put their hand to their heart and take off their hat and look at the American flag. She's like, I'm ready for kids. I'm ready. You know, Mercedes' speech, like, I'm ready for the real thing. Like, she is going to be our new Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I mean, that speech she gave, like, I get what she's saying, but like nowhere in the speech was like, with the right person. Like, it was just like, I want kids. I want it all. I want it. And it's like,
and we're like, okay,
cool. Everyone does. I know, I get what she was saying, but I do think she will find, you know, people following her and seeing themselves through her. I mean, I met Mercedes. She came to my show in Nashville with Christina Mendrell. They came together.
Really?
Yeah. She was cool. They were both really cool. I
Mercedes
liked them both.
Just as hot in person as she
She's
is
teeny
on TV.
Tiny. She's gorgeous. I mean, like, I remember when Mercedes was first cast on the show. I think I wrote that she was like a pig farmer or something. She like,
oh yeah, she's like farm girl.
Yeah, and I wrote this whole thing about how hot she was, and I still to this day. But she was one of those people that like on TV, you're like, oh, and then you meet them in person, you're like, oh, you're like itty bitty. Like you see that with
tiny.
Like men too. Yeah,
Charity is actually the size of my thigh. Yeah, I remember meeting Charity and I was like, I'm going to be so big next to you.
If I went on this show, people would be like, wow, Jared, we thought you were like literally like a blob. Like I would get off the show. I would look so horrific on this show compared to these little tiny Bratz dolls.
Like the thought of wearing a swimsuit 24/7 on television is actually has me sick.
If I went on Bachelor in Paradise, the real game would be how hilarious it would be how much I covered up with different things. It would be me behind a coconut tree. It would be me with a towel wrapped around, like all the creative ways I chose to cover up my fucking
you would show
body.
Up in one of those in like the Ken outfits that they wear at the beach, like the button-up t-shirt and the matching shorts. You would just have those for every day.
I'd be the never nude. They'd be like, wait, everyone's in their bathing suit.
Nude.
Where's Jared? Yeah, they'd be like, oh, we're doing games on the beach. I'll be like, I'll be there in a minute. I come out in a tarp.
Love that. I love never nude because I love Arrested Development, so I'm so glad I love that reference.
It's great. Okay, so Cringe Harrison Award.
I mean, Taylor hearing his name instead of like Tanner. I honestly was like, I thought it was my mistake. I was like, oh, she said Taylor. And then she was like, no. And the way she like looked at him, she made it even more awkward because when she was walking off the stage with Tanner, I looked at her and she was like looking at that guy going back into the line. I was like, oh, this is so bad.
This guy, he might have the worst reality TV showing of anyone that's ever, except for the guy with the that fell in the water, falling in the pool.
Right.
I had Blake and Kylie at the car, and just Blake in general. Like,
what was that about?
I think Blake smiling at Kylie, who was like, "You should stay," and he was like, "What are you trying to tell me?" Like. It felt like someone like trying to like do an improv scene and trying to direct which way the improv scene would go. Like,
yeah,
what do you want me to say? You know, like, I don't know. Blake on this show, you know, no one was a better producer on their own show than Nick Viall. And Blake is in that vein where he is producing on the fly and trying to create his own moments. And he got a couple tonight.
And then he did. Speaking of Nick Viall, spoiler, if you haven't seen Special Forces or if you're watching, he was one of the winners in Special Forces on that whatever the fuck show. Yeah, and he did
good
great. I was very impressed.
There we go.
Very impressed. Bachelor Nation really does it on that show. There are three different people of all, Hannah Brown, Tyler Cameron, and Nick Viall. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be able to withstand, you know, extreme surroundings
things.
And temperatures and things. So
yeah, that's not me.
This show trains you for it, I guess. So last category, engaged or disengaged. Who do you think is proposing?
I think Kylie's expecting it. I think Kylie is going to be very disappointed if she does not get a ring at the end of this. I think they need to just go be a couple. It clearly works. Why do you need to prove something more and get engaged now just because that's part of the premise of the show? But I think she's really expecting it.
I'm excited for that because I hope there's some actual drama.
Right.
I said probably Eliza and Aaron because they're both up for it and they both seem like they want their moment. And
Aaron is so weird. I mean, when he was like, when she was like, oh my God, you're gonna meet my parents or whatever, in her baby voice. I don't know why she talks in that baby voice to him. And then he's like, and then the way he speaks is so disingenuous. Like, he's like, yeah, I just feel like that's something I'd really like to do.
It always feels like he wrote his own script. It just feels like, you know, when someone uses words that you're like, that's not how you would talk with someone you're like friends with. Like, mm-hmm. He's like, I would propose to see your father in an engagement of dinner. Like, it feels like he would talk that way.
Yes. It's strange, though. It's a little strange. Like, just have a little bit of, I don't know.
It's just very cardboard.
Yeah. Cardboard is a great word to describe it.
Well, that's our episode.
Yeah, make sure you listen to, this week is the finale of Golden Bachelor.
Yes.
Golden Bachelor finale this week. Yeah, same, right. I thought it was the finale tonight. So Golden Bachelor finale, if you haven't listened to that, that's out right now. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Bachelor in Paradise. You can follow us on Instagram at The Bachelor. You can follow me at K York City. And Jared, what's going on this week?
I'm in Portland, Oregon. This weekend, Portland, Oregon, and then I'm in Phoenix, Albany, San Diego, Madison, Wisconsin. I'm doing a New York City show in February. That's way out, but I just want to make sure that my end of the year is just, I'm about to be Mr. Delta. So,
yeah, get
lot
those
of flights.
Points.
So, so listen, it's been a pleasure meeting the Bachelor audience. Everyone's so fun and nice. So, yeah, come on out, jaredfried.com for tickets, and bring your friends. It's not a Bachelor show. The Bachelor material is on 37 and Singles on my special, but this one's all about my family. So you can bring your parents. My parents, their friends, they like loved it. So it was very cool.
All right.
The Bachelor podcast is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amy Klackner. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. And be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.